Everyone to the anointed next 2 hours of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries and our theme song. I just love it, Bill. It's that river of God, the very presence of God. He's in there playing fake drums, you know, getting us all inspired here. Oh, it is about being in the presence of God, and we are so blessed at Beacon of Hope to be having incredibly wonderful services.
Amen.
Amen.
Mighty time in God. Beside me to my right is Pastor Jim Ellsbury. What a joy and a blessing you are, and you have your Living the Good Life radio show on. And I forgot to bring Bill, our engineer, one today. So, Bill, you got one coming. You got a shirt coming. Yeah, we don't have any more of these orange ones. These are the old ones from when we were on Waters Avenue many years back. You have one of these, Marla.
Oh, I have them all.
You have them all. That's right. You got the whole collection, right?
Yeah,
there's been a lot of them.
That's right.
Exactly. Marla to my left, Marla DeFries, one of our regular radio team members. Did we have church today, Marla?
Always a pleasure. Holy Spirit was there.
Oh, the music. I mean, you used to be the leader of our music, and now you've handed off to over here to Pastor Jim. And both of you, I got to say, you're doing a great job, Pastor Jim. You did a great job, Marla. And it's just incredible to feel that mighty presence of God when we begin to worship, isn't it?
It's awesome.
And the tambourines were flying today.
Oh, yeah,
and
you
almost had some people dancing there, brother.
I
mean, there was some excitement in the house, you know? And you started with an old hymn today.
Yes, I did.
You want to tell them what you started with?
We started with Revive Us Again.
Wow, that's an old one. I grew up singing that one.
Oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
It is. Well, you know, some of those hymns,
yes.
Pastor and I have talked about this, really carry an anointing.
Yes,
because they
do.
they tell the truth,
right?
And they're really, really good. Like the one
yes.
this morning is like just reminding us that every so often we need
Amen.
A revival inside of us. We need to be reminded of what we're going to talk about today,
yes.
the promises of God, and just to have the Holy Spirit stir that up within us.
Oh, absolutely. Revive us again. Hallelujah.
Bring us back.
Bring us back.
Focusing on Him.
Absolutely. And if you are kind of tired and maybe down in the dumps today, sometimes that happens to people on holidays, you know? Failed expectations. Maybe things don't really go the way you think they're going to go. Today is Mother's Day 2010.
Happy Mother's Day.
And happy Mother's Day to all of us, me included, who is a mother. And, you know, it's fun, but there are a lot of times there are disappointments, and we're going to talk about some of that today. But we're also going to talk about the good things of God
right.
and the promises, aren't we? It's going to be a great show. I'm
Amen.
Excited. I always look forward to every different Sunday with different members of our radio team. We are so blessed a couple weeks ago for our third anniversary show to have all of you on, even Carol from Georgia, Deb and Alice from Houston, all of the radio team, which is 8 of you plus me. And what a joy a few weeks ago to have y'all in the same place. But it's so cool then when we break it down week by week and there's only one or two of you with me because you get a chance to really share more.
Right.
And so I was looking forward to this day today with the two of you. You're always cool. And you've already got the email up. How can they contact us during the show?
They can contact us at...
Pastor at
beaconofhopeministries, plural. com.
That's it. Exactly. And they can write, you know, they can write us an email and you know, and talk to us and ask questions and make comments and maybe they want to comment on something that one of us says or you know, just a, you know, a general comment about what we're discussing. So we welcome you to do that today. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Come straight here to the computer. Pastor Jim will read our emails and go from there. So it's been a great day. We're excited. We had a little Mother's Day lunch after, and Marla and I just ran from that lunch. And it's fun. It's really been good. It's been a great day. So God bless you wherever you are listening to us today. And for some of you that aren't aware of this, we have a brand new feature for our ministry at Beacon of Hope, thanks to our beautiful little engineer in there behind the glass, Bill, and he's a sweetheart. And now he has devised a way that shortly after the end of each show, he can send it directly to me by email, something new we have. Then from me, it goes to our webmaster, Maxine in Georgia, and within 24 hours usually, sometimes within an hour, it is on the web.
Website.
Which is kind of cool, Marla. I mean, it's something we can say to people, hey, if you missed the show because you got family here or something going on.
Then they can download it on their iPod and take us with them. Take us to the gym. Take us for a walk. Take us to work with
now,
them.
Now, see, I wouldn't even have thought
of that. Whatever they want
to
do.
So from they can go to the – see, because I'm not that technologically.
You can go to the website.
Know.
You should be able to download it on your iPod or
– from the website.
Or onto your computer and listen to it on your own time.
Oh, fantastic. And they can tune in the middle of the night in their pajamas.
You can listen to it anytime you want. Share it with a friend.
Isn't that cool?
If it touches your heart and you think it's going to bless someone else, pass us along. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are thrilled to be with you today from Beacon of Hope. This is Living the Good Life. And our website is, what's the address there?
www.beaconofhopeministries.com.
Ministries.com, yes. And we always like to point that out because a lot of times people say they can't find us. And
they're using singular.
Right. It ends in I-E-S, ministries,
and
because...
That's what we are. We are ministries.
Explain that, Marla. Would you do that before?
We're across the nation. We're going worldwide.
Yes.
We have different Beacon of Hope satellites.
Yes.
That are becoming, they're growing.
Right.
People that were and still are a part of our church, they
right.
have had to move from one reason or another, but they're still with us.
Yes.
So we have Texas. We have Georgia.
Yeah.
We have Alabama.
We got groups here and there.
We have groups.
Right. Yeah.
Spreading out.
And I just want to put a plug in for the website because when we moved down here, I knew I needed, I'd been out of church for a while.
Right.
And I knew... I need. That's what I promised God. Okay, you move me to Florida, and I'll go back to church.
Right.
So I was on the web a lot, looking at the different churches in the
yeah.
area, and it's funny. And I told you this, Pastor. I'd look at Beacon of Hope, then I'd look somewhere else, then I go back to Beacon of Hope, then I'd look at another church, then I come back to Beacon of Hope, and I kept coming back
that's
to that
cool.
website, and it had all the information I needed, answered all my questions before, so I. Pretty much knew what was going on before I even set foot in the door.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not the only one. We've had quite a few people that have found us via the internet.
And especially lately.
Yeah.
So a big thanks to our webmaster, Maxine in Georgia, who does such an incredibly wonderful job. I asked Connie, our musical director for the radio show, to put this song on Amy Grant. It's an old one. It's one of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. The title of it is El Shaddai. We're glad you've joined us. Listen in right now.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Echam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the realm, you save the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. To age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
Great song. I love El Shaddai.
Oh,
isn't that an
song.
Old classic? That's from back in our day, back in the 70s, don't you think? Or 80s? I don't know for sure.
80s.
Okay, that's a long way back. Great song by Amy Grant. And it talks about the El Shaddai nature of God. You see, all through the Word of God, God calls himself names. Mm-hmm. And these names are descriptive. Okay, they tell about his nature. Okay. And today is Mother's Day, and we are going to talk about the El Shaddai nature of God. And we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. If you have your Bible, go with us to Genesis 17. If you're driving down the road, that's all right. You can just listen. Genesis 17. When Abram, some of you have heard of him, God changed his name later to Abraham, but at this point he was still called Abram, and Abram meant exalted father. Later, when God changed his name, it was Abraham, and it meant father of many nations. But at this point, he's exalted father. Now, Abram was 99. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's not like a real young chicken here. You know, I mean, this guy had been around a while. 99, I mean, come on. And when Abram was 99, God showed up and said to him, I'm in the Message Bible, I am the strong God. Now, I have a word for you out there today. God has showed up today.
Amen.
Showed up. And he says to you, I am the strong God. Okay? And in the Hebrew right there, that meant El Shaddai. The word there was El Shaddai. And I know some people pronounce it a little different. You're the Hebrew scholar, Pastor Jim. How would you pronounce El Shaddai?
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai? So you would put the emphasis on the first syllable? All right. All right. El Shaddai. All right. Anyway, okay. And it means, can you give us a couple definitions of it, Pastor Jim?
Well, it means the all-sufficient one.
Yes.
It comes from the root word shad, which can mean mountain,
okay,
which denotes the power.
Right.
It can also mean breast, which denotes
yes.
nurture.
Yes, the nurture.
So El Shaddai can, you know, the mighty nurturing God.
Amen.
The Almighty.
The Almighty God.
Yes.
Almighty. And I love this because this is talking about the mother nature of God. You know, that nature of God where he just comes and pulls us up to himself and holds us, you know.
He carries us when we cannot carry ourselves any longer. Amen.
Cool. None of us have ever been in that situation before, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay. El Shaddai, the strong one. And here's what God said to Abram in Genesis 17:1. Live entirely before me. Live to the hilt. Now, I don't know what your translation says there, Pastor Jim, but this is what it says for me in the Message Bible. Live to the hilt.
It says, walk before me and be blameless. But I have a footnote that says, literally, that word blameless means complete, perfect, or having integrity.
All right. So God was saying to Abram, you know what? I want you to walk with me. I want you to realize who I am. And God was saying, I want you to walk with me, but he's saying, now I'm going to tell you who I am. And he calls himself El Shaddai, okay? The all-sufficient one also means more than enough, you know, for whatever need we have. And you mentioned it a minute ago, in the original Hebrew, it means the many-breasted one. So it's talking about that mother nature of God. All bountiful, the satisfier. And another definition I've heard said, and I love this, is the supplier of the needs of his people. Which is interesting, because that's what a mother basically does. Supplies the needs of her family. So anyway, Abram, when this happened, God said to him, I want you to live to the hilt. I'll make a covenant with you between you and me, and I'll give you a huge family. Now, quiz, Marla, did Abram, did he have a huge family at this point right now?
Not at this point, no.
No.
He was 99, had not bared children. Him and his wife didn't have any children.
He and Sarah did not, right. But he and Sarah's maid had
Ishmael.
And at age 86, Abram and Hagar had had a child because Sarah was frustrated that she had no descendants. And so she said to Abram, you know, let's just have you, you know, make a baby with my maid, Hagar. And Abram said, okay, whatever you want, Sarah. And so he did just that. But this was not God's plan. I mean, he allowed it. And God does allow a lot of things, but this was not the perfect answer. God wanted Abram and Sarah, to have their own child. And so in Genesis 17, God shows up and says, you know, I'm going to take care of this problem for you. And in verses 3 through 8, Pastor Jim, what translation are you reading out of?
New American Standard.
Ah. That's the one I cut my teeth on. All right. Do you want to read chapter 17, 3 through 8 in the New American Standard? Yes.
Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. Hallelujah.
Amen. Isn't that cool?
And I will be their God.
And at this point, none of this had happened, right? We're still in the promise stage. This is the promise. And one of the purposes of this show today is to talk to you about God's promises. And that God does not make promises to you just willy-nilly, if you will, you know, just like, oh, yeah, whatever, you know. God has reasons behind his promises, and his promises are true, and we're going to talk about that today. And this promise to Abram, God said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to have a son through Sarah. Now, Sarah was not a young chick. At 99, Sarah must have been 89. Is that about right? I think they were 10 years apart, okay? Something like that. And she had never had a child of her own. Now, this is huge when God says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And a covenant means I'm going to promise you this. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to do and what I'm going to do for you. And this was the covenant. He was changing his name and he was becoming a father. He was going to call him what he wasn't yet. You know what I'm saying?
And it's cool because God said, okay, you were Abram,
yeah.
Now you're Abraham, father of a multitude. So every time
yes.
that either Abraham said his name or somebody said Abraham's name to him,
right,
he was reminded of the promise.
Exactly.
Hey, father of a multitude.
Right.
Hey, father of a multitude.
That's pretty cool, don't you think? That's a good way for God to make a point
mm-hmm.
that every time he calls us, he's to Abraham, let's say, he was calling him by what he was going to be.
Exactly.
Okay. And, you know, we'll amplify on this in a little while, but God calls us things that we don't feel that we are sometimes And we're going to talk about that. There are some things that we really are, but we don't see it that way. And so we know that probably Abram, in his humanness, probably questioned. Don't you think that Abram questioned, how can God do this? I am 99 years old. My wife is 89 years old. And how is this going to happen? And we see some glimpse of this in the same chapter, chapter 17 of Genesis, in verse 9. God continued to Abraham, and you will honor my covenant, you and your descendants, generation after generation. And then he talks about the covenant of circumcision. And the covenant of circumcision is symbolic, is it not, of God's promises to us. And this was something they could see. And it was the cutting away of the flesh was really symbolizing how God wants to strip us of everything that we, you know, doing it our own thing type thing, you know? Right. Do you have a comment on that before we go on with that concept?
It's, you know, the Israelites were not the only ones in the Middle East to practice circumcision, but
right.
To my knowledge, and I could be wrong, they were the only ones who were obviously given a direct command from God to do
right.
it.
Right.
And it was a sign, because
yes.
every male would know every day that
right.
they were in a covenant with God.
Right.
Because it was going to be pretty plain.
It was going to be very plain and very obvious. And, you know, it's interesting, Marla, Abram does not argue with God. Well, let's go down to 15. Go down to verse 15, Marla. And let's go on and see what God says to Abram and Abram's reaction there. If you want to read 15 through 17.
Certainly. God also said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her, how do you pronounce it?
Sarai.
Sarai, excuse me.
That's all right.
You are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her.
Exactly.
And so he had the faith. It was Sarah that didn't have the faith.
Right. But, you know, it's interesting that Sarah did get with the program.
Well, later.
And sometimes it takes us a while to get with the program, does it not?
Sometimes our faith isn't that strong, and we want to take control and do it.
What does verse 17 say, Marla?
It says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90?
Wow.
And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing.
And what was that about?
He didn't have, certainly he wasn't thinking that they were going to have a child at
right.
their age.
That's
naturally.
What he's saying.
Maybe
how
God
can
was
that
gonna
be?
Give them a child.
Right.
Maybe they would adopt a child. They just
right.
didn't believe it was going to be through the natural way.
Yeah, and Ishmael was the son of the handmaiden that he had already produced 13 years ago.
Right, but not from Sarah.
So Abram is going, God, why don't you just bless Ishmael, for heaven's sake? And Pastor Jim, please tell our audience that God has blessed Ishmael. Do you want to comment on that?
God did bless Ishmael and Ishmael's descendants, because they are children of Abraham.
Yes.
And, of course, the Ishmaelites, basically the Arab peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And what is in that whole area but oil?
Right.
I mean, God knew the blessings that he would give to Ishmael.
Exactly.
Ishmael hasn't always used those blessings
right.
correctly.
Yeah.
But.
And this is the conflict, the root of the conflict in
the
Middle East.
The root of the conflict is between Isaac,
yes,
the child of the promise, and Ishmael.
Right. Now, we know, going on with this story, that the angel, a short time after that, a couple angels come to visit Abraham, and they said, we just want to remind you, you know, a year from now, you're going to have a child with Sarah. And Sarah is standing at the tent door. And how did she react to that news, Marla?
Lack of faith is clear to put it. I mean, she just did not believe it.
And she reacted in laughter.
Well, they both did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was far-fetched.
And God says, all right, that's fine. You're going to call your son laughter.
As a reminder.
That's his name, Isaac.
That's what Isaac means, is laughter.
It means laughter. Is that cool?
As a reminder that they laughed.
Right.
But not only that, I think it almost two-sided.
Yes.
Because they're going to look at that kid and they're not going to laugh at the impossibility
right.
anymore once Isaac's born. They're going to laugh in joy at what God did.
Absolutely.
Bless them with a miracle.
Ooh, amen.
Hallelujah. So it turned. God turned that whole situation. The times when they did not believe that God could do this. There had to be, during that year before that child was born, there had to be a lot of times when they were sitting there thinking, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I respectfully have to disagree.
Go ahead.
I want to read out of Romans chapter 4.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I'm going to start with verse 16. I'm
Go
reading
ahead.
Down to about.
I know where you're at, and that's great. Good.
Okay. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
Right.
You know, that's cool. We have Abraham as our father, too.
Yes.
As it is written, a father of many nations, I have made you. Now, I just want to point this out real quick. God spoke it in past tense, okay? And God, because, you know, God is above time. And it's like he could look at Abraham and said, I've already made you
right.
a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and does what, Pastor?
Ooh, calls that thing to be not.
calls into being those things which do not exist.
Amen.
In hope against hope, he, Abraham, believed so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. He knew his body
exactly.
was 100 years old.
Right.
But he did it without becoming weak in faith. Now, I
Very
want to know
good.
How he did that, because that's a trick.
Right.
But now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah had been barren for 90 years. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did
that's
not
right
waver
there.
In unbelief, but grew
that's
strong
it.
In his faith as he gave glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform.
Oh, you answered your own question, because here's what happened. Abram and Sarah must have had those thoughts come through their head. Mm-hmm. And we teach on the air that the devil puts all kinds of suggestions, you know, into our heads, you know. Well, what about this? After all, Abram, you're 99 years old. How can you possibly father a child? Or what about this, Sarah? Just because the thoughts come does not mean we fall into agreement with those thoughts,
right.
correct? In fact, we read from Romans 4 that you just read from, that even though this was a fact, okay, it's a fact. Sarah, you're 90. This is Abram talking, and I'm 99. And hey, old girl, I don't know what's going to happen, but God has promised us a son. So, I mean, the devil's put the suggestion. This will never work. But something between Abram and Sarah began to click, and they began to realize, wait a minute, this is a promise. That's the answer right there. The promise. They fell into agreement with the promise. Do you know what I'm talking about, Marla?
Right. When God gives you an idea, or he tells you indirectly or by just your knower,
right.
then it's our choice to act upon it, believe
yes,
it.
Exactly.
You know, and
choice.
Stay in agreement with it.
Choice.
Because if we don't, and if we don't keep focused, Satan will try to deter us and
Absolutely.
Keep us from God's grace.
Absolutely.
And God's gifts.
Absolutely. Because the devil's always there to put little suggestions in our head. You know, this isn't going to work, or this isn't going to change, or you're never going to be healed, or you're never going to be clear of thinking and mind, or your friend that you're believing for that's got the addiction is never going to overcome that addiction. The devil will always put the negative suggestion in our heads. Would you both agree with that?
Amen.
Yes. He tries to take God's good and turn it into bad, so you turn against God. You turn away from God. That's
exactly.
his constant mission,
right.
is to get us to fall short from God, from you know, inheritance of heaven.
Exactly. He's always trying to do that. He's always trying to put something, you know how a bully at school will do, try to put a roadblock in front of a, let's say it's a kid that, you know, wears very thick glasses, or it's a child that has a physical handicap, you know?
That was me.
Was that you?
Well,
seriously?
Thick glasses in,
really?
In grade school. Yeah, I had Coke bottles.
Okay. All right. So how did that make you feel in grade school?
Four eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
They teased you. Okay. And I'm sure that you felt like, oh, I'm less than others because of this, you know? And so the devil comes and puts the suggestions, you know, you're not as smart, you're not as cool, you're not as cute, you're not as all that. And look at him now. Isn't he cute and isn't he cool?
Well, even when you're told that you've got cancer, the first thing
Micah,
that Satan
happened
does
to you?
Is you're
going to
die.
Exactly.
You might as well just lay down and die because you're going to die. There's no chance you're going to be healed. There's no, you know, all the negative just comes into your head, and then the gasping from others. It's almost signing the death wish.
Yes.
And Satan will come into your mind. See, everybody knows it. You might as well give up, you know, and just pound your mind.
Exactly.
Like what he did to, look what he did to Eve.
Right.
Classic example. You know,
we were talking about that Bible study Wednesday night, weren't we, Jim? About
great example of how Satan comes and just tick, 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 and just tries to turn you away from God's blessings.
Right.
Because he knows that we have, as descendants of Abraham, God wants us to be prosperous. He wants the peace. He wants us to live in harmony, and he wants us to be blessed here on earth. We don't have to wait till we die and go to heaven.
Ooh,
for it.
Girl, preach it.
He's given it to us today if we receive it and walk in it.
And he comes to Abram at the beginning of Genesis 17 and says, I'm El Shaddai. Okay, that's who I am. That's my name. That's my nature. We know all through the Bible names reflect people's nature, like Jesus means Jehovah, our salvation. Okay, and God says, I'm going to show you a little bit of who I am. I am the all-sufficient one. Okay,
Almighty.
I am more than enough. I am almighty. I am the many-breasted one. I am the one that holds you and takes care of you and puts you under my wings and comforts you. I am that one. That's what he says to Abram. And so during that year or so that Abram and Sarah were waiting on this promise to be manifested, we've just established the devil has obviously come and said, at 99 and 89, you guys are not conceiving a child. Mm-hmm. And yet we know that they chose to believe it, or they would never have had Isaac as their child. Correct?
Correct.
That's what you just said.
Right.
You just said they believed the promise.
They believed the promise. They believed
promise
that what God said he would do.
Whoa. And that is so huge. You know, I was thinking earlier when we were talking about how names, and you said Abram, when his name was changed to Abraham, and people called him the father of many nations, and he had to walk around, and instead of being called exalted father, now they're going, oh, hey, you, the father of many nations. Well, years ago when I was struggling with my weight back in like 1999 or 2000, I decided to go to Weight Watchers. And when I went, and I said, I'm going to be serious about this, okay? And I needed to lose like 35, 40 pounds, which I ended up doing. But I walked into my office at Century 21 where I worked, and I said to my secretary one morning, maybe you've heard me say this, tell this story, Marla. I said to my secretary, from now on when you talk to me, I want you to use my new Indian name. Oh, have you ever heard me say that? And my boss was standing there, and you got a new Indian name? I said, well, yeah, I'm part Cherokee, but I have a new Indian name now, and I want you to call me She Who Weighs Much Less Than Before. Now, this carried on for months while I went to Weight Watchers, and my secretary, we would laugh in this big, huge office because she would, you know, over the loudspeaker, she would say, instead of saying Marsha, line three, I had instructed her to call me She Who Weighs Much Less Than Before, line three. Okay. And it became a joke because in her haste, she would say things like, she who weighs more than she did yesterday.
No.
And I mean, people, we were laughing, cracking up, but it became a biblical lesson to those in our office. And it was just, you know, it was just interesting how this, and don't you think you mentioned this? I think this is right on. The promise was spoken, and Abraham got it. And every time somebody called him Abraham, they were saying, father of a multitude, not exalted father.
And
go ahead.
That could have, you know, scripture says, you know, that he held on to the promise as he gave glory to God. And again, I think that was Abraham's choice, because people could have called him, hey, father of a multitude, and he could have just said, yeah, right, whatever. This is never
whatever.
Gonna,
do you know. Think Abraham said whatever?
Well,
anyway, yeah.
But I mean, he had a choice, is how he responded. And the scripture in Romans, what I'd read in Romans 4 said, he gave glory to God. Hey, father of many nations. Oh, yeah, hallelujah, I'm receiving that.
Woo, yeah.
You have to believe it. You have to call it into existence and focus forward. You know, keep your sights on God's promise and know before it even manifests that he's going to carry forth what he promises.
But the devil comes and says, there's no way that can happen.
Oh,
and
yeah.
fear comes in. Fear that God's not going to keep his promise. Okay? Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, look at the promises here in Genesis 7.
Genesis 17. Where are you? What verse?
Starting with verse 5, I'll make you the father of a multitude of nations. Well, we know that by faith we too are children of Abraham.
That's
so
right.
So that's, okay, tick that one off. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you. Okay. And kings will come forth
mm-hmm.
from you.
King David and the whole big line.
And the whole line of kings. I'll establish my covenant between you and me and your descendants throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. The Jews to this day still practice circumcision.
Right.
To be your God and your descendants after you. I will give you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan.
Amen.
For an everlasting possession. Now, this, to me, if no other verse... I'm sorry, I'm going to preach for
no,
a second.
No, go right ahead.
If no other verse in the scripture...
right.
...validates the promises of God, this one does. Because God said, I'm going to give this land to you.
Right.
And your descendants.
And your descendants.
And guess what?
We are the descendants.
Yeah, 62 years ago...
Right.
...this promise... became true.
In 1948, when Israel became a nation.
They got the land back.
They got the land back.
God stands by his promise.
That's right.
For Israel, who had not been a nation for almost 1,900 years before that time.
Right. Preach it. Happened 62 years ago in 1948.
In 1948, they just celebrated... the 62nd anniversary a couple of weeks ago of Israel's becoming a nation. I mean, God stands by his word, even when it looks like it could never happen. Like with Abraham and Sarah having a child.
Yes.
It certainly looked like that was never going to happen. With Israel, who thought Israel was going to become a nation again?
Right.
And yet, boom, May 14th, 1948, you know, here we are, Exodus 17. Verse 8, boom, it's fulfilled.
It's fulfilled.
God kept his promise.
That's the date, May 14th?
May 14th, 1948.
That's coming up.
But they always, in Israel, it's always done on the Hebrew calendar.
Okay.
So
all
it
right.
just happened.
It just happened
for the Hebrew
okay.
calendar.
But
so,
it's in God's time,
it's
not
in God's
our
timing.
Time. We're the impatient ones.
Oh, aren't we?
We want it now. We want it yesterday.
And when we see things not happening the way we think they should and as quickly as we think they should, we get this fear. I'm going to say that word. It's an awful, awful word. We get fear that God is not going to keep his promise. And if whoever is listening to this right now live and those many, many that will listen after the fact, your fear is your enemy. Fear is not your friend. When you feel that tightening in your chest, when you feel that butterfly thing rolling up on the inside of you and like, ooh, what if God doesn't come through this time? That's the suggestion of the devil, my friend. It is not God. God never came to Abraham and said, you know, if I were you, I'd be sweating this baby thing, you know, because you may or may not be able to do that. May or may not. You may or may not. And yet God didn't say that. God said, believe me, it's going to happen. You're going to have a child. You may laugh about it, but the last laugh's on you. I'm going to name his name Laughter. You know, the last laugh's on you because I am going to fulfill my promise. Fear is our enemy. And we are going to talk more about that fear in just a minute. But we got to get this song. I did not ask Connie for this song. She put it on, and it's one of my all-time favorites by Carmen, who is actually the nephew of my home inspector for real estate. How
really?
About that? And Carmen is he is a handsome man. Carmen, Fear Not My Child. He wrote this song.
feared the Lord than was afraid to try once more. That fire in my soul had fled. That's when Jesus came and said,
my spirit.
Praise God, fear not, my child. I love that song.
It's a good song.
Oh, it really speaks to the... And this is Mother's Day 2010, and so for all the mothers out there, there's many times that we as mothers have had many times of fear where our kids are concerned, and yet God's mother nature says, don't fear, and we're going to talk more about that right now. All those times, I am so blessed to have my mother still living. I know your mother's gone on to be with the Lord, and your mother, Marla, is still alive.
Yes, she is.
And we have several of our mothers in our congregation that were there this morning, which was really cool. Yes, and my mother turns 86 in a couple weeks. Ooh. And my mother suffers from Alzheimer's, but she is so happy. And Friday when I was there with her, and we were just talking and laughing, she was cracking jokes, and she remembers good things, you know, and she's just a blessing. And so I know today she couldn't listen to the show because she's at a family thing, and normally she does, but she's a blessing to me, and I'm glad that we still have her. Let's talk about this fear. That is no coincidence. See, we don't plan what Connie puts there. I just tell her a general theme, and then we let Connie, just like you guys did with the music, just let God lead you. And you just said to me while that song was playing, Pastor Jim.
Well, a couple of chapters before, in Genesis chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what Abraham was afraid of at this point, but in Genesis 15, verse 1, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you.'"
Oh, amen.
"Your reward will be very great."
Yes. There's the promise. You know, I'm your shield. You got a reward coming. Don't fear. You know, what does fear do, Marla? You mentioned the breast cancer that you had, that you have come through. And are you the healed one, Marla DeFries?
I'm beyond the healed one. I'm the restored one.
And that was a few years back when you were first diagnosed. Yeah. Back in 2003, maybe? It was 02. Before that. No, oh. It was 02.
No, it was 01. My first surgery was in 02.
Okay. First surgery in 02.
Oh, no, 01. God, I had so many surgeries.
Okay, whenever that was.
The whole thing, God was with me the whole time. He, you know, through other people and,
yes.
and through just, he lets it be known that he's with me.
Yes.
And even when in my periods of fear and doubt, because in the beginning, I was so full of fear and I was just grasping like a little kid. I have matured as the years went by, thank God. But what's wonderful is that, you know, God's plan incorporates our shortcomings,
yes.
our doubt,
doesn't it?
And our
yes.
fears. And he helps us to grow and mature.
Yes.
And I love that about him. Because I'm not the same person I was in the beginning. I was scared to death and screaming and thinking of, I was almost believing Satan's lies of that I'm going to die and all this. But then, you know, through sticking with the word, sticking with the church, and sticking with my support group, and through prayer and petition, you know, he put signs in my path that let me know. He didn't directly come and tell me like he did with Abraham and Sarah, but he let me know that he was there.
Yeah.
He's going to see me through it. If he brought me to it, he's going to see me through it.
Amen. Say that again. That is profound.
If he brought me to it, he's going to see me through
Amen.
It. And he did.
Yes.
He kept his promises.
Yes.
All of them. I'm here to testify today.
And you've had more surgeries than that.
There were one detected and three hidden. One was bilateral invasive cancer, and they didn't even know what to do with me.
Yeah.
They just didn't. So I've had
nine
surgeries.
I don't know what to do with me.
What's going to happen when
profound.
I get to heaven?
Right.
We're going to party.
But you know what you are, Marla? You are the healed one.
I am
Amen.
Healed.
And
yes, there were moments where the fear came in, but it didn't last. You didn't allow it. You were, mm-hmm. and I lived through it with you. I was your
yes.
pastor at that time still, back then. And believing God, we did for that miracle. And look what God did. And that's really a testimony to our listeners, Jim, I mean, about how so often we can allow this fear to overcome us. And you just brought it out. God said to Abram, before he even said, now here's the plan, at 100, you're going to be a father and Sarah's going to be a mother at 90. Before he revealed the plan, God said, I'm going to prepare his heart. Don't be afraid.
Right. And I think it's, and I was slipping back. And of course, in Genesis chapter 12, God says, I'm going to give you descendants. You're
yes.
going to be a blessing. That was kind of general, not real specific. And, of course, you know, there were three chapters after that. Abraham's gone to war with those five kings.
Right.
You had to rescue Lot from
Yes,
from
he went through
the,
a lot.
The kings. And then, you know, he met Melchizedek.
Yeah.
And then I think God just came on the scene to remind him and said, don't fear, Abraham.
Yes.
I'm your shield. I'm your refuge. Your reward will be very great. And I was looking at the next verse, and Abraham said, but Lord God, what are you going to give me since I'm childless? Okay. And I think it's okay sometimes to remind God.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
This is the promise. I'm just reminding you that you made this promise.
Absolutely.
You know, even though God hadn't been real specific at
right.
this point, but he did say, you know, I'll bless those that bless you, and
right.
I'll make you the father of many nations.
Yes.
Okay, but in God, sort of, that was the general, brought it right down to eventually, like we've read.
Right.
Okay, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Isaac.
Right.
But in the in-between time, you're right. God said, don't fear. And Abraham, you know, said, what are you going to give me since I'm childless? And, you know, since you give me no offspring to me, you know, what am I going to do? And then the word of the Lord said, you know, this man, Eliezer, his servant, is not going to be your heir.
Right.
But one who will come forth from your own body shall be your heir. And, you know, we've mentioned it before, Ishmael.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get in the flesh.
sometimes we try to do it our way. We try and
make God's promise happen.
Yes.
Through fleshly means. And that's what Sarah did.
Yes.
And, you know, she's not the only one to blame here. I mean, Hagar was in on it. And, of course, Abraham went along with it. Abraham was definitely. And
obviously.
You know, and if you read, Abraham had great faith.
Yeah.
But there are, I mean, and that's what I love about the Bible. You know, Abraham is our model for faith, and yet Abraham had those times when he doubted. With Abimelech, he tried to pass Sarah off as his sister and not his wife.
I mean, he was human, Pastor Jim? Amen. Was he human?
Amen. And, you know.
Yes.
And just, it's so great here because, and you mentioned it, Marla, God gives signs, and I like object lessons, because here, and he took him outside. God took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens. I'm going to get all choked up.
I love the stars too. Yes.
If you're able to count them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. Then he, Abram, believed the Lord, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness.
Wow.
God gives us those signs, mm-hmm. those object lessons, the changing of names. Jacob's name,
yes,
which unfortunately happens to be mine, means heel grabber or supplanter, and God changed Jacob's name to Israel.
Yes.
The prince or the contender with God.
Wow.
Here he says, go out and count the stars. Yeah. In another place it said, as the grains of sand.
Right.
So every time Abram's walking across the desert, he's going, oh, okay. Or at night, I can just see him. Wow.
Wow.
That's how many.
He painted the big picture, but then again, being not specific.
There you go, Marla.
You're saying, okay, God, you're going to do this for me, but you must mean that I'm supposed to have, you know, the child with someone other than Sarah. Certainly you don't mean, you know, Sarah. So they start taking upon themselves to figure God's plan out.
Into the flesh.
Into the flesh, and they try to control it themselves instead of giving God the control.
And don't we all do that? We do that.
You know?
We do that because we're as human as Abraham.
Right.
We are all human, and we say, yes, my time. And, you know, I saw something on a church bulletin or billboard as I passed by yesterday that just said, consider God's timing. You know, and I'm just like, whoa, okay. You know, because we don't do that. You know, just like you said, Marla, we are in the flesh. We are constantly wanting our time, and we want it to be the way we want it to be, and with the person we want it to be with, or
when
whatever.
We want it to be.
The way we want it to be. We want it, God to do it our way. And God sees the big picture and says, wait a minute, that is not going to end up good for you. You know? Now, I got to relate this back as a mother, because I have three children, and I had three kids in 4 years. So for a while, I was nothing but pregnant, it seemed. And during those 4 years, I mean, they were little guys. I mean, and they were, but I can tell you as a mother, all I wanted was for good things to happen to those children. Okay. I never said, oh, well, you know what? I want something awful to happen to my son or my daughter. No, a mother doesn't do that, right? And we've got to keep that in mind with the mother nature of God that we're talking about today, El Shaddai. You know, because the mother nature of God says, no, I want to bless you. You know, Michelle Cardinal preached this morning at Beacon and did a really good job. And one of the things that she said was, we put limits on God. Do you remember hearing that?
Yes.
And I thought, oh my, that is so true, because we are the ones who say, oh God, I'm sure you can't really do this, or I don't know how you can do this.
Or we think that perhaps God doesn't want to do that.
Right. Right.
And Michelle brought it up this morning. It's too menial a thing.
Right.
For God to deal with. Oh, yeah. I mean, she mentioned this morning praying about with one of her customers about their pool.
Yeah.
Oh, God didn't want to hear about my pool. Well, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
What do you do in a relationship? You talk about everything.
Right.
If you're in a relationship, you go back and forth about even did you like your breakfast? You know,
right.
Every little thing counts because you relate to each other.
That's a good point. God wants us to be in that.
A relationship. Yeah. And some people are afraid to approach God because of maybe they didn't pray enough. Maybe they didn't make it to church. Maybe they didn't do this or this. He doesn't have a check-off list and say, well, I'm not going to answer Marla's prayer because she didn't go to church on Wednesday or she didn't pray for so-and-so this night.
Right.
You know, he loves us, and yes, he understands our shortcomings, and he's waiting there with open arms all the time.
That is so true. And that brings me back to what I was just saying right before you commented on that, because as a mother, my children have not been perfect by any means, like anybody else's kids right. are not perfect, you know? And yet they, I hope, know and have always known that I will always love them, that no matter what they said or did or how they treated me or what they did that was disappointing, any of that, I still love them, you know? Just like my mother. My mother, I disappointed her a lot for a period of time in my life when she was really struggling with me, you know, with some things. And this is a long time ago. But without going into that, I mean, my mother was very hurt and disappointed by me, you know, for a while. And just not understanding why I was making some of the choices I was making. But did I ever think my mother had stopped loving me? No. I knew that my mother. Now, not everybody out there in Radio Land has had that same wonderful experience with their mother, because I'm the first to admit some mothers, not only do they shut you down and turn you off and disown you and all that kind of stuff, they're human. But I think we need to look at the mother nature of God, that he is never like that. He never shuts us down, turns us off, disowns us, tells us to leave and never come back.
Right.
That's not his nature, although some human mothers have been less than wonderful.
Right. Right. Well, and I'll jump ahead, since I'll be here again on Father's Day.
There you go.
Both the holidays. We sometimes model how we relate to God, our
right.
relationship to God, with how it was with our earthly parents.
Yes.
And God is the perfect parent.
Yes.
I mean, and there were, you know, some things in my relationship with my parents that were, you know, very dysfunctional. And that carried over for a long time into my relationship
right.
with God until I realized, okay, you are the perfect father.
Right.
You know? And so I can't place on you the same things that I might place on my own parents, because because you're perfect and you want always the best for me, and you're not going to cut me down. You're not going to, you know, do whatever.
But human parents do those things.
Right. And
we have to acknowledge that.
Right.
They do. They're not perfect, you know?
I know in my own relationship with God, it was that I felt I had to work to get God's approval.
There you go.
Grace was such, I mean, even after I got born again,
mm-hmm.
it was like I still didn't feel adequate.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I got over that, praise God. Because I realized it was coming because it was a reflection of my relationship with my own parents.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, our assumptions and our opinions get in our way.
Yes,
we've got to realize that what we're thinking, God is thinking, he is not thinking.
Right.
And plus, we do collect our own experience with our parents who
yes.
are, you know, our superiors. And,
right.
You know, and we think God's going to be the same way.
Right.
And it's just,
he has perfect love.
Right.
I mean, we can't even really grasp that concept, I don't think. Perfect love and acceptance, you know, and forgiveness. How can that be? Perfect love, acceptance, and forgiveness. But that's what we want to talk about today on this Mother's Day, is that even if you have had a parent, let's say a mother or a father, either way, that has been less than perfect, that has not loved you the way you felt you needed to be loved or accepted you for who you were, God is all of that acceptance.
He is the perfect parent.
He is the perfect parent, Marla.
No, it's not no false evidence appearing real.
No,
that's
fear.
The real thing.
False evidence appearing real, an acronym for fear.
That's right.
But he's not. He is the real deal,
right.
You know?
I mean, we're to respect him as the God Almighty, but we don't really need to fear him.
No.
Fear our
reverence.
Sins and not getting repentance and not being saved. Yes, but don't fear the Father who loves us so much and wants to be a part of our daily life.
Wow. As we go on with the show today, we want to talk about promises. So we're going to get into that. But, you know, for all of you listening today, God loves you so very much. He loves you. No matter what it is you're going through, God loves you. And he accepts you right where you are, and he forgives you. And in my big church in Indiana, we had, it was a big restaurant, 7,000 square feet that we remodeled. It was called the Frankie's Tumbleweed. It was hilarious. And we remodeled it, turned it all into a church. And on the very front, clear across the front, in great, big, huge, red styrofoam letters, we had Jesus loves, accepts, and forgives all.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about. Station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with Pastor Jim and Marla, and we're glad to be here live on this beautiful Mother's Day in Clearwater, Florida. It's a joy to be on the radio, is it not? Don't
Amen.
You just love it?
Amen.
I mean, it is just, I don't know, Michelle Cardinal said a couple weeks ago when we walked out of here after a show, she said, I walk out and I feel like I'm a helium balloon, and I'm just like, I can just, I'm so high, I could just take off and soar, you know, just from sharing the word and sharing our experiences with our listening audience. We love doing the show.
Amen.
We welcome you to become a partner. Why would they want to become a partner, Marla? Why would they want to become a partner of Beacon of Hope Outreach Radio, which is Living the Good Life?
Because by becoming a partner, you become associated with a thriving, great soil, as the analogy in the Bible. Plant your seeds in good soil, and they will grow. Cast them out on cement or on rocky shore, and you know, they won't grow. You have to, God says to tithe, and tithe to where you're fed.
Right.
And we have people that some can't even get to a church.
Right.
And others, this is in addition to church. And it's like you're being fed the word. And so you want to partner with those who are as a growing and good ministry, who are reaching people and helping to save lives and restore faith.
Amen.
And that's what we're all about.
So how can they become a partner?
Go on our website. Go
yes.
to beaconofhopeministries.com.
Yes.
And we just have so much. We have our events. We have our service times. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to come and you know, worship God with
sure.
us.
Sure.
We have a donation page. And
PayPal system.
Definitely online. You can't have it online without it today.
That's right. Seems like it. So they can go and become a part and be a partner with us and join. And there is actually a little thing that says become a partner and
oh,
you
definitely.
Can join.
And also you can also we have items that you can promote the Beacon with.
Right.
We have T-shirts and such. But you can listen to our past
yes.
radio shows.
Right.
In the
cool.
near future, you're going to be able to see our services.
Right. That's going to happen, too. Pastor Jim, tell them you have the computer up here, and some days we get lots of emails, and some days we don't get a whole lot, and it's a holiday, so maybe we're not getting a lot. But tell them that they can do that, and would you also talk about the prayer ministry?
Yeah. Today, right now, you can send them to pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Because we'd love to hear from people. You know, if you're enjoying the show, if you have any questions, any comments. Now, we also have a prayer ministry, and what happens is people send their prayer requests in, and you can send your prayer request to prayers, plural, @beaconofhopeministries.com, and one of the members of the prayer team, either myself or Deb or Alice, will take up that prayer, and usually what we do, we send it out to our prayer team. And we all write a little prayer, you know, in case you just don't know quite what to pray. We'll come up with something, you know, for you to pray. And then we send it out to our prayer team, and we
yeah.
have seen answers to prayer.
Yes.
I mean, the prayer team is scattered from, you know, from Tampa Bay
to... So many people on it now.
Yeah, Tampa
all
Bay
over.
To...
People we've never met
right.
are on the prayer team
right.
for Beacon of Hope.
We're all one big family on this planet anyway.
Right.
That's
and,
right.
You know...
And
it's
so, you know, it's so cool because, you know, we send the prayer requests out and we hear back, and you know, we know that the prayers have been answered. And if you do send a prayer request and your prayer gets answered, please.
Yeah,
send it
report.
Back. Let us know.
Oh, praise reports.
Because I love keeping a list of praise reports.
We love that. Oh, amen. And we've been doing this prayer ministry now about 2 years, I think. And it was actually something that Alice came to me one Sunday and wrote me a note and said, Pastor, we need to have a prayer ministry. And I said, great, you're going to head it up. And she said, okay. And that's how it was birthed 2 years ago. Not that we weren't praying before, but I mean, now it's a global prayer initiative.
Right.
And we had a call early this morning from Wabash, Indiana, asking for prayer that this person was very, very ill. And so, you know, we just welcome you. Send us the prayer request, because everybody has email these days. Simply prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Write down your need, and immediately it will get to the right people, and prayer will begin.
Let me share this. When I receive one,
yes.
In the subject it says prayer request.
Right.
It takes me less than 1 minute. I'm not saying I'm speed prayer, but, you know, it really helps me.
Yes.
I open it up. I can read a little caption of what the prayer is about. And then right below, I just stop. And I know that as I'm praying that I am fulfilling the if two or more gather in my name and believe, then it shall be granted upon you.
Yes.
Granted unto you.
Granted unto you. Yes. There you go.
But it doesn't take long.
It doesn't.
And then later on, you get another one. That says praise report.
Right.
And it's great to feel such a, you know, you're a part of that ministry that is seeing these prayers get answered.
Ooh.
It's wonderful.
And tying that in with what we've been talking about today, we believe at Beacon of Hope that God still answers or still upholds his promises.
Amen.
Promises for healing and just blessing and deliverance. And promises to meet our needs.
Amen.
You know, the promise that Marla mentioned, if two or more are gathered in my name, if two of you ask as touching anything in my name, it'll be done. That's a promise. And we believe that. So that's why, you know, we have this ministry, because we believe God's going to answer those
prayers.
And
he is answering all the time. And it's just like, wow, you know.
It blesses me, because I have a little praise journal that when God interacts with me.
Oh, cool, Marla.
I write it down. I write the date. I write down what he did with me. And it just lifts me up. That connection is what I live for. And I love sharing that with other people, because I'm not a special person. God isn't a favor of persons.
Yeah.
He loves us all equally.
Exactly.
You know, and that's hard to conceive, because I'm not the Pope, and I'm not, you know, I'm not Mother Teresa or anyone that I really put on a pedestal.
Right.
I know I'm not supposed to, but I can't help it. It's just, you know.
In their position,
I respect them.
Right.
You know.
Sure.
And for him to love me as
just
much
the
as
way
them,
you are.
Wow.
Wow.
And he gave me
And he
miracles.
Provides for us. He takes care of
he
us.
He does. And he loves us. He shows us that he loves us.
I will admit, I asked Connie to put this song on today, and it's one of my all-time favorites. It's an old song, but it's a new version of it by the group Selah. And Pastor Jim told me when he saw this on the show today that he will probably cry like a baby. So that's okay. If you're watching us on video right now, you can watch Pastor Jim cry like a baby.
No, please.
His eye is on the sparrow.
A constant friend is here.
On the sparrow, and he watches me.
Oh, that's such a good
hallelujah.
Version.
We love that. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are a global ministry. Wherever you are right now, you can listen to us on the computer. You can also listen to us on Ustream. You can go there. There are other places, but Tantalk1340.com. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, you'll get a better connection on Tantalk1340.com. And so we welcome you to join us over on that part, and you'll still see us. We're glad you've joined us today. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, and let's start with verse 13. Now, a lot of us have had times in our childhood where parents did not keep their promises. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Where maybe we even thought God did not keep his promises. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 13 a moment. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt. I love that. He backed it to the hilt. Putting his own reputation on the line. What does it say in the New American Standard there, Pastor Jim? And this is Hebrews 6:13, if you have your Bible.
For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself.
Ah, can you explain that to us?
Well, you know, you hear some people, I swear by God, or I.
Right.
You know, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So help me God.
Right.
Well, We can do that because we have somebody greater to swear by.
Right.
God didn't.
Yeah, who is he going to swear by?
Right,
he
exactly.
is God Almighty,
so
the omnipotent.
Yeah, I mean, so it says he swore by himself saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you.
Yeah, but how did we know he was telling the truth, Pastor Jim?
Well, because...
Because there's people out there right now who are saying, how do you know God's going to keep his promise to you?
Because, and Marla brought this up during the song, every promise in here, he's kept. Every prophecy concerning the first coming
Absolutely.
Of Jesus, the Messiah, he kept.
Right.
He's keeping, so far, everyone according to the second coming of Jesus.
Right.
We've seen the promise. We've claimed those promises for ourselves.
Right.
And seen God work. Marla had mentioned that sometimes people just don't know. That we have these promises.
Right.
He's
exactly.
given us these promises. I believe it's 1 or 2 Peter where he says, because so we can partake of the divine
exactly.
nature.
Exactly.
You know, that's why God gives us those promises, so we can become more like him.
Absolutely. The promises is what we're going to talk about here in the next few moments. Let's go on with this, because in Acts, Hebrews 6:13, God says, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless.
Yeah, but we're all different, so God's going to bless us individually.
Right.
And our faith is different.
And what does it mean, bless, anyway?
Well, bless, prosperous, it could be health, it could be finances, it could be relationships, it could be spirituality. It depends on us as individuals. So if you just it's not really a general for everyone. Everyone's going to be blessed differently. And we're a blessing to each other by sharing those blessings.
Which reminds me of Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, where Jesus is sitting on a hill and he said, blessed are... You know, and he goes into all of the ways that we are blessed. Blessed if you're persecuted. Blessed, you know, if you're humble. Blessed if you're, you know, this kind of thing. On and on and on. Blessed. The word blessed in the original Greek, correct me, scholar, to the right is our Bible, our resident biblical scholar, Pastor Jim. We love him so much. He is such a scholar. And what I have always been taught, Pastor Jim, is that the word blessed means to be happy, to be envied.
If I may quote from the Amplified Bible, because I love this so much, I actually memorized it. Blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, that is, with life, joy, and satisfaction. I forget the rest of it, but I mean, that's...
Yes.
To bless somebody means to set them up to...
Succeed.
To prosper,
yeah,
to succeed.
Good things.
I mean, that's...
I mean, when you curse somebody, it's just the opposite, right?
Right.
If you curse somebody, you know, and you say bad words, you're setting them up to fail, right? Mm-hmm. But blessing is the opposite of cursing,
right.
Okay? And I love Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, where God says Moses, and I love this, and I quote this a lot myself. And it says in the Message Bible, if you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all his commandments he commands you today, the Lord your God will put you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of God. And so I could not begin to tell you all how many times I start my day with this passage, Deuteronomy 28:1-14. And what I do, and give me your New American Standard a minute, Pastor Jim, because this is what I do it out of instead of the Message, because I've got this memorized, you know. And I say, now it shall be because I diligently obey the Lord my God, and I am careful to do all his commandments that he commands me today. The Lord my God does set me high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings do come upon me and overtake me because I obey the Lord my God. Blessed am I in the city, blessed am I in the country. Woo! Why would I take time to do that, Pastor Jim?
Well, again, you're speaking the word.
Amen.
And there's power in our words.
Yes.
And we've all talked about this before, and it goes back to that blessing and cursing. You can stop a blessing by saying, oh, God, I'm sure he doesn't really want me to be healed.
Exactly.
I'm sure he really doesn't want to bless me. Or
right.
I'm not worthy of the blessing of God. Well, right there. I mean, you've stopped it
cold.
You
can stop it right there.
And so, yeah, I mean, reading these blessings, and of course, or singing them, because there is a song that goes with this.
I'm sure there is.
Oh,
which song is that? I don't think I know
Abraham's blessings are mine.
Okay.
Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed going out, and I'm blessed coming in. Abraham's blessings are mine. And
All
plug in the rest of these verses.
Ooh, okay.
That's a cool song.
That is cool. Because we have the right and the authority as children of God to claim the blessings of Abraham.
Amen.
That they are ours, right? And so if you insert your name like I was just showing you to do in Deuteronomy 28:1-14, I am blessed. The fruit of my womb is blessed. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Read verse on down there.
All these blessings come upon you. Blessed shall you be in the city.
Yes.
Blessed in the country.
Yes.
Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl.
Right.
Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out.
Amen.
The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. You mm-hmm. will come out against them one way, and they will flee before you seven ways.
Amen.
The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. And I, you know what? I'm claiming that for my new position.
Amen. You got a new job. Yes.
I got
a promotion.
Yeah.
Promotion at
and
your job.
He will bless me in the land in which the Lord, your God, gives
Amen.
You.
Amen.
You know,
and it just goes on. 14 verses.
Abound in prosperity and open for you his good storehouse and make you the head, not the tail. And I mean, it's incredible.
Don't we really have to make a choice when we put a demand? And I know that's a strange way to say it, but the word says, God says, remind me of my promises. Remind me of what I said to you. Now, while we were on the show, at some point, our engineer Bill in there, who's as cute as can be, evidently got on his phone and he called Howie's Pizza. And you know how I know that? Because a guy walked into the studio a minute ago and brought a pizza to Bill. And he's been in there. Have you not? Is this not true?
This was a Hungry Howie sub.
Oh, all right. Okay, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. I didn't know what was filling your mouth.
I'm sorry I did not
share. That's right. Share. You should be sorry that you didn't share. But
he was getting the word, and he was so hungry, spiritually hungry, he had to satisfy it somehow.
There you go. All right. You know? But, Bill, when you called in, you didn't expect them to bring you a Wendy's fish sandwich, did you?
No, I did not expect them to bring a Wendy's fish sandwich.
You expected a Hungry Howie's sub that you ordered, correct?
That is correct,
and
ma'am.
Because by you ordering it and you promising to pay when it came here, that promise was out there, and you, when they walked in with it, you said, all right, they did what they told me they were going to do. Is that correct?
That's correct. I made that promise.
All right. Thank you for your testimony there, sir. All right. Let's get back to this. God does not give us fish sandwiches when he promises a steak. Do you understand what I mean?
In Luke.
All right.
If he asks asks for bread, will he give him a
Luke
stone?
Luke chapter 11, yes, about Luke verse 7, Jesus said, if you ask me for a piece of bread, am I going to give you a stone? And then he says, if you ask me for an egg, am I going to give you a scorpion?
Yeah.
And he goes, absolutely not. And he says, how much more if you ask for the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Woo, I could preach right now. And it's not about Hungry Howie subs. It's about the Holy Spirit and that God does fulfill his word. Amen and amen and amen. And when he says, I promised you I was going to heal your body, then we go and we say, you are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. Right?
Amen.
We put a demand, so to speak, or we remind him of what he promised us.
Well,
go ahead.
And we know Scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And putting what I found really helpful is I love to sing Scripture songs.
Yes.
And praise God. I mean, I became a Christian. Well, you did too, Pastor, back in the early 70s when Maranatha Music was putting out all those Scripture songs.
Yeah.
And it just became so easy to memorize Scripture because you just sang it all the time.
Right.
And it's, you know, like you
not
are the
by
God
might,
that healeth,
no, by, yeah.
You are the God that healeth me.
Yes.
Sing that. And it just, because you're speaking the word and you're singing it, it builds up your
you're
faith.
Singing the promise.
And there's also Scripture in Ephesians where it says, you know, building yourself up in your most holy faith as you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You build yourself up. You build yourself up as you do that. So I'm a big advocate for singing Scripture.
Amen. Do you have a comment on that, Marla?
Yes, I do.
She's sitting here patiently, Pastor Jim, while we just go forward here.
What came across my mind was that, you know, no matter what walk you're in, as far as on your Christian path, whether you're new or a mature Christian, the one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, God loves us and he wants to bless us.
Yes.
But he knows our heart. He knows what's really good for us. So sometimes what we think we need is not really God's best.
Yeah.
So I've learned to ask God, you know, when I'm asking for something, Lord, if this is the best for me, then so be it. If not, help me to see what's best for me, because sometimes I don't see it.
That's right.
You know, and you know, Did I have to have surgery? Yes.
Right.
Would I have chosen to have surgery? No. I would have him to just miraculously heal me. I go in. I have no cancer, no surgery. But that wasn't how he planned it. He planned for me to go to the hospital. He planned for me to interact with this nurse that really needed a touch, a word from God.
Amen.
Had I not gone to the hospital, I would not have been put before her and had that opportunity to let her see God through me. So he's going to put you in situations that's going to bless him and also
bless
and sometimes
and others.
We think the promise is not being fulfilled, but it is.
Right.
And this next song goes right along with that. And it's sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he doesn't do it the way we think, Marla.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he does not keep his promises.
Right.
He always keeps his promises. Let's hear this, Bill.
All who sail the sea of faith find out before too long how quickly blue skies can grow dark and gentle winds grow strong. And suddenly fear is like white water pounding on the soul. Still we sail on. That we pass through the night. Though we're shaken, we cannot be pulled apart from Christ. No matter how the driving rain beats down on those who hold to faith, a heart of trust will always be a quiet, peaceful place.
Praise God. He sometimes calms the storm and other times he comes through and does something totally different. He is, you know, the whole thing is God doesn't do it the way we think he always should.
Amen.
You know,
I mean,
there's sometimes that he absolutely surprises us. And if you just joined us on Living the Good Life, we've been talking about the promises of God and his nature, his mother nature that comes and just blesses us and gives us peace and gives us direction and wisdom. And, you know, we've talked about how God promised to Abraham all of this territory and promised to give him a son and give him multitude of descendants when he had none whatsoever. And at 100 years old and his wife Sarah at 90, they did give birth to Isaac, their son.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaac became the father of Jacob and Esau, and then Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, and then it went from there all through the line. So God did keep his promise, did he not?
Amen.
Why is it, and I'm going to ask both of you this, why is it that we struggle with believing that God means what he says and says what he means? Why do we have such a hard time with that?
Sometimes we don't believe it pertains to us. We think it's just in the Old Testament. It only pertained to them.
Or in some cases, that was just for New Testament times.
But look at prayer of Jabez. I mean, he called it in. He asked God for it. It wasn't God that went to him.
Well, you didn't even know I was going to go there to prayer of Jabez. This is God's Holy Spirit right now in this show, okay? Look at this note.
I didn't see that.
I know you didn't see this. I was looking at the book that the title of it is The Prayer of Jabez. The author is Bruce Wilkinson. And I saw this note I had written in my Bible, and Bruce Wilkinson says this: God's bounty is limited only by us.
Amen.
Which is what Michelle said this morning in the sermon. Not by his resources, not by his power or his willingness to give. God's nature is to bless us. Okay? And I want to ask you both about that in just a minute, but I want to give you one more quote that Bruce Wilkinson said in this book. When we ask for God's blessings, we're not asking for more of what we could get for ourselves. Now, think about that a minute. He says, when we are asking God to bless us, we're not asking for more of what we can do anyway. Okay? We are asking for something supernatural to happen. That is what Bruce is talking about here as he writes the book about the book of Prayer of Jabez. I'm sorry. The Prayer of Jabez is five simple statements. It's found in 2 Chronicles 9:4. And it says this, and this is what Jabez said. And he was a very insignificant person in the word. You don't know anything about him except you see that he prayed. And in fact, his mother was very upset when he was born and called him some awful name. I can't even remember it this moment. But anyway, the Prayer of Jabez is five things. Jabez said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. That your hand would surround me, protect me. That you would keep me from evil. That you would enlarge my territory. That I would not cause pain." And I gave those in the wrong order. So let me do it again. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." Enlarge my territory is the second one. "That your hand would be with me. That you would keep me from evil. That I may not cause pain." Those are the five things. Now, Jabez was not a famous guy or anything. He just knew that God needed to bless him. And then you go on in that story and it says how much God blessed him. Now, Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote this book, is saying, when we get really serious about asking for God's blessings, you know, when we, let's say we run to the mother nature of God, like a little child does, and we say, "But, you know, mother, I want you to do this," or whatever. You know, we got to begin to get our mentality changed where we believe that God wants to bless us, not that he wants to punish us, okay? I mean, growing up as a pastor's kid, I remember one little old man in our church in Indiana before we went to the mission field. And I remember where he would stand up in the congregation over on the right side, right under the clock is where he always sat. And he sat right on the aisle by the side there, under the clock. And this man would stand up and he would tell his woes on Sunday morning. This happened and then, you know, God did this to me. And this was all awful stuff, you know, that this man would say. You know, God put this on me and then God put that on me. But, you know, I'm going to get through it. And, rah, 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 rah. And he'd cry his little cry and bring out his little hanky. This guy really thought God was putting sickness, disease, pain, all that stuff on him. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. God was getting credit for stuff he wasn't doing. That stuff was coming from the devil.
Well, and people call things like earthquakes acts of God, hurricanes, acts of God. No. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, there will come a time, when earthquakes will be used for judgment. We're not there yet.
Right.
But it's Satan, because Satan is a thief and Satan wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes. Comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
God wants to bless.
Yes.
I mean, God wants to give and give life and make whole.
That's his mother nature.
And, you know, Satan wants to, you know, steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
And, you know, Satan's also the father of lies. He's got people believing, well, this is an act of God or that's an act of God. And how could God do this? Well, God didn't do it.
Right.
They were used. I mean, a lot of people reflect in the Bible when God was using natural, like the locust, the plague and everything.
Right.
That was pre-Jesus.
Right.
Jesus came.
Yes.
And because Grace. He died for our sins, I mean, we just have to go and ask for forgiveness now. God is, he doesn't do that anymore, but because it's in the Bible, because it's in the Old Testament, and some still don't really believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Right.
So they're going to focus on what God did
right.
then. That's not, that doesn't pertain to these natural disasters even today.
Right.
Look at the oil spill that
right.
was man.
Right.
And all these different disasters, the volcano eruptions. We're doing so much to this planet.
Right.
That we're abusing our own planet. And
but we tend to,
you know, it's not God.
But we tend to blame God.
Right.
And we tend to blame God for disease in our bodies. We tend to blame God when something doesn't work out at work the way we think it should. You know what I'm saying? And we forget that God intends to bless us.
Right. So go to God
yes.
and ask him to fix or help get fixed our diseases
right.
and our problems. And watch the miracles come and unfold and then go tell others about it.
Amen.
That's what we're to do.
Amen.
Focus on the results that he can present versus everything that's going wrong.
When you think of a promise, you two, don't you think that it is something that has been said, whoever said it, and you expect it to happen? A promise is something that if you tell somebody, promise not to tell anybody this, you expect them to honor that.
To keep the secret, right.
Well, when my kids were little, I remember this distinctly because we would make plans to go here or do this. And I remember one day we were walking out of the grocery store and I had all three of them because they were three under 4 years of age. So, I mean, we were like mother hen. I was like a mother hen with these three little guys. And Ryan, my oldest, said, Mom, you promised that we could go. And I think it was like, get ice cream right after this. Are we going to get ice cream? And I said, well, you know, this has just happened. Your daddy called. We got to go do this first. And he goes, but Mommy, you promised. And I remember thinking, and I said to him, Ryan, I'm going to quit promising all the time because things come up and I want to be able to fulfill that promise. We're going to do it, but we're not going to do it right this moment. We're going to do it later. And I remember thinking, I've got to be more careful when I promise and say, okay, I promise you we're going to do this right now, you know, or whenever. Now, people, generally speaking, take promises seriously. Wouldn't you both agree with that?
Right.
Right?
Given your word.
You know,
right.
you promise to love and honor and obey or whatever in a marriage ceremony, right? Or you promise to stay together forever and things happen. You know, promises aren't meant to be broken. I've heard people say promises are meant to be broken. Promises are meant to be kept. Okay. And that's the intention behind it. People don't stand up in front of a large congregation and take wedding vows intending to be divorced in a couple years.
Right.
Right. That's not the intention. The intention is to go forward with that commitment. Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Let's take this to God. God does not give us these promises in the word and say, oops, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Do you know what I'm saying? We are the ones who so often think that that's God's nature because we're used to that with humans. How many people have been divorced? How many people have not been able to go take the kids for ice cream right then? How many people have not been able to fulfill a promise? And so because we're like that, here's my point. Here it is. Here it comes. We think God's like that. He's not. What does the word say? God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. You know, he said, when I tell you this, I mean it. I'm thinking of Isaiah 55:11, and I want you both to comment on this. Isaiah 55:11. These are God's words to us, and I love this. And if you are able to write this verse down, write it down and really meditate on these words. This verse, Isaiah 55:11, will change your life. Pastor Jim, read it in the New American Standard if first, will you? Please.
So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it.
Mm-hmm. What translation do you have, Marla? Just look.
Life Application.
Life Application. All right. What does it say? 55:11.
So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It is not. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Okay, listen to it in the Message Bible. And this is God speaking. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. Pastor Jim, I want your take on that. And how do we get this message across to our listening audience of the importance of Isaiah 55:11 and this whole concept here? Because Bill believed that he was going to get a hungry Howie's sub, and you never thought, did you, Bill, that you were going to be getting Wendy's or Long John Silver's, right?
No, the only thing that I was thinking was when will it arrive?
Oh, that is profound. Thank you for adding that, engineer. He was only thinking, Pastor Jim, when will it arrive? You can preach on that.
Oh, you bet I can.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, just the promises, God's word. And for those of you that can see me, I'm holding up the Bible. God's word goes forth when we speak it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we speak it, when we teach it, when we preach it, God's word goes forth.
Yes.
And if we claim, say, well, turning back to Isaiah 53.
Okay.
As a matter of fact.
Right.
Verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we esteem our... We esteemed him stricken of God and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed.
Amen.
When I mean, and I being on the prayer team, I'll sometimes, you know, type that into the prayers because that's the word going forth.
It.
And
it,
the
it.
Word promises, by his scourging, by his stripes, we are healed.
Yes.
And that's, you know, the word goes forth, and just like Bill said, you know, sometimes we just wonder when it's going to get there. And I had turned previously.
Okay.
Funny you should say that.
Okay.
To 2 Peter.
Okay. Let's go there. 2 Peter.
Chapter 3.
Uh-huh. Verses 8 and 9,
yep,
right? I knew
it.
You were
starting
headed there.
Verse 8. Do not let this one fact escape you, your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, thousand years like one day.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but to come to repentance.
Yes.
Okay, there's about 6 sermons in there.
All right, just pick one and do it.
Well, a day, you know, one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as one day. God doesn't measure time like we do.
Right.
You know, he's kind of above, beyond time.
Right.
You know, time is a finite thing. You know, we measure it by seconds, minutes, hours. And those are finite things. Yet God is infinite.
Yes.
And so far beyond that.
Right.
His timing is perfect. God's not slow.
Right.
About his promises, as some count slowness. And I know the verse is actually in reference to the second coming of Jesus, that he's holding off judgment until as many as possible can come to repentance.
Amen.
But he's not slow, as some count slowness. And again, we want it when we want it and how we want it done. That's kind of been the theme of this show sometimes. You know, we claim a promise. Well, okay, Lord, I want to get healed and I want it to happen in 15 minutes,
right?
And this is how I want it to happen. I want the glory cloud to descend upon
me, yeah,
so that everybody knows that I'm getting my healing.
Yeah.
And that's not how it happens all the time.
No.
It's through his grace that, you know, he gives us time and lets us develop our abilities.
That's right.
And get our stinking thinking out of our head.
Exactly.
Like, this verse was a rhema verse to me this morning when I was listening to to Joel Osteen this morning.
Okay,
and
sure.
He mentioned one that I have not heard you even mention before, which really just stuck out. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And it's talking about it is having God's perspective on you, on who you are, and acknowledging his grace and developing your abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that verse is talking about by his grace, I Amen. Am who I am.
Yes, right.
You know, and by his grace, you know, his grace to me was not without effect.
Right.
So that was just amazing. It's through his grace that he knows our shortcomings.
Yes, he
knows
does.
Our fits that we pitch fits and we want it now and we're impatient and all of our shortcomings.
Absolutely.
And he just, like he did with Abraham and Sarah, he just gave us more time.
Just like a mother does with their kids, knowing the kids are not perfect and they're not, you know, having it all together, but you still love them, you know. Listen to this song. That's a great segue by Hillsong, Chosen Is Mine, because you, dear radio listener today, you have been chosen by God to walk with him. Listen to this song.
Here I am, so close to you. Know my voice, I'll never leave you. For I have loved you since before sands of time were made. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. My Father wants to bless you now. Receive from him all that you'll never need. Come spend eternity with me. My heart is full of love for you. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. Cries in the desert, my child, I hear them. Tears in the valley, my honey, I count them. You're so precious. You were on my mind as I
listener today. I want to speak to you that are listening, maybe right now in your car, maybe you're listening live, maybe you're listening 3 months from when this show came on. God's got a plan for you, and God has something big in store for you that relates to your promises, the things that he has for you, and he doesn't want you to settle for just accepting what whatever comes along down the path. God's got something beautiful for you.
Amen.
You know, he's got a plan for your life. It's not something that you should take lightly. You need to get into a great Bible study in a great church. You need to, if you're in a Tampa Bay area, we want you to come to Beacon, of course. But you need to get in the Word, and you need to learn the Word and find out what are the promises that God has for you. So often, people settle for second best, third best, fifth best, instead of believing God that the promises are meant for them. If you out there are not sure right this moment that you are saved, if you died right now tonight, would you go to heaven? That's the question. Would you be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? If you cannot emphatically say yes, I want you to repeat this prayer that I'm going to pray. Marla, I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me, and those listening can repeat it with you, okay? Because I'm going to declare it, and you're going to say it, and if they haven't made this decision, now's the time for them to join your voice, okay, after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you now. In the name of Jesus.
I acknowledge that I need to be your child.
Acknowledge that I need to be your child.
I need to ask you to come and live on the inside of me.
I need to ask you to come and live on the inside of me.
I believe that you, Heavenly Father.
I believe that you, Heavenly Father.
Sent your son Jesus.
Sent your son Jesus.
To this earth.
To this earth.
To show me the path of salvation.
To show me the path of salvation.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And I ask you now.
And I ask you now.
Forgive me for anything and everything.
Forgive me for anything and everything.
That I have ever said or done.
That I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I ask you now by faith.
I ask you now by faith.
To come and live on the inside of me.
To come and live on the inside of me.
I'm your child.
I'm your child.
You're my daddy God.
You are my daddy God.
I love you with all my heart.
I love you with all my heart.
I begin my new life in you right now.
I begin my new life in you right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And let him show you where he wants you to go.
Amen.
To learn the word, to fellowship,
yes.
To get strength, to become all that God wants you to become.
Amen.
Reach out. He's there for you.
We want to hear from you if you prayed that prayer with Marla. And you can just write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It doesn't go to somebody else in the ministry. It comes directly to me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. I want to hear from you. And if you have questions, concerns, or you just want to pour out your heart to somebody, you can do that. Pastor Jim, what is God saying today to our listening audience and to us?
Well, I think that the whole time we've been together, we've talked about God's promises and how faithful God is to his promises. It may not always happen when we want it to or how, but God is faithful.
Amen.
And if it, I guess what I would want to say is just God is faithful from giving Abraham a child.
Yes.
To giving the Jews back Israel.
Right.
To what will soon be the second coming of Jesus.
Yes.
From one end of history to the other, God is always faithful.
Amen.
To his word.
Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
Great final thoughts. Marla, what about you? What is God saying to our listening audience today?
It all pertains to you.
Yeah.
It's up to you to accept and believe.
Yeah.
And take a step further. Take a step of faith. Reach out. Talk to him. Let him reveal himself to you as he will.
Yes.
In his own way and in his own time. And it will just, it's better than any drug, any fix, anything that you
right.
could even think. It's more satisfying than life itself. When he interacts with you in your life, it's like a fix. It's like a high. You want more of it. And when you get more of it, you feel so special. So believe me when I say, he has changed my life so much. I am not the person I used to be. And I'm not the person I'm going to be. It's
Amen.
A day by day.
It is,
and
isn't it?
I'm learning more and more, you know, walking with him and turning my life and my will over to him has just been the best thing and has given me a life. So just do it.
And he wants to talk to us, doesn't he? He wants to interact with us, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk more about that whole concept on another show. But God's promises are real. And he wants us to find them and to learn them and to say, God, here, you said this. And so I'm claiming it. You know, and this prayer that we just prayed or whoever prayed that with us, that is directly from the Word of God. No, it's not word for word. That's the concepts that God says, because I just allowed the Holy Spirit to speak as we prayed, right? So there are whoever is out there right now, and you're struggling with life, and you're struggling with the fact that people have let you down. They haven't kept their promises. Maybe they haven't done the things they promised you they would do. Maybe they haven't followed through. God will follow through for you. And he sees the big picture of your life. Do you have another comment to that, Pastor?
Well, I was just reflecting on the verses in Hebrews, and it says by two things which cannot be changed,
right?
God has kept his promises by his own oath and his covenant.
Yes.
And we have the covenant with God,
yes,
through the blood of Jesus Christ. And every covenant, of course, you know, that's a whole other teaching, but required a blood sacrifice,
right,
to initiate it. And by Jesus' blood, we have that new covenant,
Amen,
with God. I mean, our covenant with God is based on better promises.
Yes, yes.
And through the blood of Jesus, every promise in the Bible, to quote Paul, is yes, and we can
Amen.
Add the Amen. Not one of God's promises fails, and in Jesus, we say Amen.
Amen.
It is so.
Growing up in Sunday school as a pastor's kid, we used to sing a little chorus. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the promises of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. So whatever you're going through today, God has an answer for you.
Amen.
If you need prayer, we welcome you to email us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you don't have access to a computer, you can call us at 813-417-3377. I'll give you that number again. 813-417-3377. Leave a message if it is not answered, because I carry that phone and I do real estate too. So there's times I can't answer it, but you leave a message and I will get back to you. So just know that God loves you so very much. We welcome you to any of our services. Everyone is welcome. We have a great Bible study. Marla, do you like Bible study on Wednesday night?
Oh, it's beyond Bible study.
Isn't it cool?
Oh, it's awesome.
We just share. We've got tables set up. You bring your Bible, you bring your notebook, and everybody shares.
We're a happy family. It's interactive, and no one's put on the spot. If you don't know your Bible, I mean, if you're brand new, you just come on. We'll show you where everything is.
Right.
We'll help you pronounce it, too. I couldn't even pronounce the books of the Bible when I first started
and
here.
And come even if you don't have a Bible, because we got a bunch
of
them.
We got tons of Bibles, don't we?
We food.
Yeah, we even have food. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We start with prayer meeting about 6:15. And so you are welcome. Join us this Wednesday night if you're in the Tampa Bay area, or if you want to fly in from Texas or someplace, that's great too. Sunday mornings, our service is at 11, a worship service. It is a great time of music, of teaching the word, of praying for people. We prayed for a lot of people at the end of this service today,
yes,
didn't we?
Did.
Oh, mighty things took place. God was changing people's lives. We welcome you at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, Beacon of Hope. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You will find out where we are. And for past radio shows, you need a lift in the week, go to our website and tune in to some of our past shows. Beaconofhopeministries.com. It is all there. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and Pastor Jim Ellsbury and our dear Marla DeFries here live in the studio on this Mother's Day 2010. We are so glad you have joined us. We welcome you to join us next Sunday. We will be here again at 4 o'clock Tampa time, and we will be live. And we like to end with this song every week, It's Not Far to Jesus.
No, it isn't.
All right, Hungry Howie's Sub Eater, let it play.
God bless you. It's not